Hello and welcome to the IRPP's Interview with the Author series. My guest today is David Charters. Dr. Charters is a professor of military history and a senior fellow of the Gregg Center for the Study of War and Society at the University of New Brunswick. He is also the author of the IRPP study, The Unpeaceable Kingdom, Terrorism and Canada Before 9/11. Welcome, Dr. Charters.
Thank you.
It dominates our headlines today, but terrorism as a global phenomenon is relatively new. What are some of the trends that you've identified in your study that you believe have shaped terrorism globally?
Well, we have to go back and look at the things that shaped it, the Cold War, the decolonization process, the transportation media revolutions. But the things that stand out is first of all, that nationalist and separatist movements pretty much predominated the period between 1945 and 2001. So the focus that we've had recently on religiously inspired groups is a relatively new phenomenon. Second was state sponsorship, which was a significant influence during the period. Civil aviation was one of the principal targets and remained so right up, of course, to 9/11 and after. Although a lot of attention was paid, particularly in the last decade or so, to exotic mass casualty or mass destruction weapons, on the whole, terrorists were pretty conservative in their technical means of targeting. The vehicle-borne improvised explosive device goes right back to the 1940s. So car bombs and other forms of bombs, the use of small arms and so on, those were the common weapons during most of that period, and that hasn't really changed a lot since.
What has Canada's experience of terrorism been pre-9/11, and what were the Canadian government's responses to terrorism during that period?
Canada went through a fairly extensive period of dealing with terrorist incidents going right back to the early 1960s, both what we would call today homegrown terrorists and international. The homegrown ones including the Sons of Freedom, a spinoff from a religious sect, the FLQ, of course, which most Canadians are familiar with, but then groups such as the Armenian Revolutionary Movements, and, of course, the spillover of the Khalistan or Sikh separatist movement from India into Canada, which culminated in the Air India bombing. So over a period of about 25 years or more, we saw a fair amount of international terrorism, but it wasn't nearly as frequent or as lethal as it was, say, in Western Europe.
So what lessons in counterterrorism can we learn from this period?
I think probably the most important one is that the best time to prepare for dealing with terrorism is in the lulls between incidents. It's probably a mistake to rush into making dramatic changes in the immediate wake of a major incident, and that in fact the best time to prepare for terrorism is before it happens. Obviously, and when in fact sort of tempers are cool and people are thinking straight, should take the opportunity to use periods of calm to invest in security resources, but also to go over all the important things that have to be worked out before a crisis occurs, and that includes coordination, who's in charge, who makes the decisions, where the jurisdictional boundaries are and how you cross them if necessary, who gets to share intelligence, that sort of thing.
You wrote that with the exception of the period of the October crisis, before 9/11, the Canadian public just didn't feel vulnerable to terrorism. Do you think that's changed?
I think 9/11 changed it to some degree. Particularly in the immediate aftermath of the attacks. But we're now 7 years on from that period, and there has not been a significant attack in Canada. There have been a number of suspected plots uncovered, none of them so far presenting a dramatic threat to the stability of the country. So I would say that we're probably moving into a period where people feel that perhaps the terrorism threat has passed them by.
And you issue a kind of warning about that in your study, don't you?
Yeah, there really isn't grounds for complacency because the terrorist scene is fairly volatile. It can change quite dramatically in a fairly short period of time. We simply don't know what the future will hold. We may continue to enjoy a peaceful situation, but the trends of the past don't give us an awful lot of comfort. We are vulnerable. We're an interconnected country. People can come here. People can share ideas and threats and so on over the internet. So we're not invulnerable. But it's in this period of relative calm, if you like, that we should be thinking about the things that need to be done to prepare for terrorist events in the event that they actually do occur.
What role should Canada play on its own or vis-a-vis the U.S. in regards to counterterrorism, in your view?
There's no go-it-alone option for Canada. Never has been. That's true in broader sort of defense relationships that we've had since the Second World War, but it's also very true in more special areas. A small localized threat can be pretty much dealt with inside the country, but where there's global connections, then we need to engage globally with partners and allies to deal with those threats. To some extent, for example, our commitment in Afghanistan is part of that anti-terrorism partnership because it's an investment in a country to try and bring it back from having been a terrorist haven. So this is something we do with our principal ally to the south, but with Britain, the Europeans, with our other partners in Asia and the Pacific Rim. It's an ongoing process. Borders are porous. People can move, so you can't simply say, well, this is their problem or this is our problem. We're all in it together.
Thank you very much for your time today.
You're very welcome.
Dr. Charters is a professor at the University of New Brunswick and the author of The Unpeaceable Kingdom, Terrorism and Canada Before 9/11.